song title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
This is where the birds eat, she says.
And then they put some yuca, plantain, pieces of lemon, and tortilla.
Ah. So could we make this without the pork? Probably.
Yes, yes.
Because we use these pots. Like if you're having a wedding, if you're having like a lot of people, we use these.
Yo quiero una con la mía.
¿Quién está traduciendo?
¿Te molesta que me saque una foto contigo?
No, what time do you need to go? Seth?
Yeah?
What time is it? Es importante porque quiero que me explique. Hey, guys, come here, please.
Yeah, I'm lying in bed now, but I just wanted to add a quick P.S. to the preceding clip. I left to go and join the tour guides. I noticed both of them had a beer, so right after I hung up this podcast, I joined them. And next thing I know, there's four students sitting at the table, and they've all got beer. And we clink glasses. So that was another step forward. It was the first time we actually had a beer together. And we only had the one. And then when we did our reflection circle tonight, it was brought up and explored, you know, owning up to the fact that all of us had signed a pledge or promise not to have any alcohol on this trip. And, of course, all of us have quite happily broken that, and but we aired it out, and why the college put it in place, and how some people have abused it, and partying that got out of hand, let's say, and but you know I pointed out that this has been a very responsible group, that we've handled it in a decent way. Nobody's out to get drunk, but certainly no harm in having a beer together. Trip's not over yet, mind you, but I think we're doing okay. As I lie here in bed in the dark, three of them are lying on the ground, just a few paces away, gazing up at the night sky. It's incredible. I went out there and I forget, you know, I've never seen the sky from here this time of year. It's March 1st today, March 1st, 2014. The Big Dipper is upside down, and it is just a sky full of stars. There's no moon. And we've got all the lights off here. Of course, we are way up in the mountains, out in the country. So it's a spectacular, spectacular sky tonight. Yeah. So, more to say a little later, but that's all for now.
La guayaba se come con todo el cáscara, Stephanie. Con todo el cáscara, la guayaba.
Sí, la comí, tenía un sano.
Those are insects in the trees here in Baruca, where I am right now, an indigenous village. Kind of interesting. It's right across the only bar in Baruca, well, the Bar Baruca, where I hope to end up. Hey,
trying not to.
No, no, con el perro.
Con el perro.
You can open it, you can open it.
Hello?
Hello? You can open the first Chinatown in Morocco.
This is the first day that's been really rough on my back, my legs. We're hiking up and down hills to get, I don't know how I'm going to get my suitcase into the house where I'm staying. I'm going to have to get help from the students. I've been good up to now, but I'm right near my critical point, and tomorrow we have to climb right back up these hills again and hike to help build a traditional building, conical shaped. That's why we're here. We're here to give a helping hand to help construct this special place. And I don't know how much use I'm going to be. There are dogs everywhere. And a couple of people we travel with don't like dogs. I just thought I'd let you hear the sounds of the village as we walk up this dirt road. All for now. Jack. It's about 10:30 at night, and I'm in a sitting outside, up in the hills, in a kind of a traditional home, I guess. I don't know what's traditional anymore, but the home of an indigenous family. This is part of our experience here in part of Costa Rica, called Baruca. And it's a reserve land only for the indigenous people. Oh dear, I have people coming, so I'm not going to be able to continue this conversation. Maybe later from bed, but this is a bit private. Yeah, lots more to say, but not now. This is the sound of the morning up here in Baruca. Thank you. hello again. It's, I don't know, 1:30, quarter to two on a Monday afternoon. It's our second day here in Baruka. I haven't been able to give you a full overview of what we're doing, but we've traveled to different regions to experience different parts of Costa Rica. As I've mentioned, I hope many times we were traveling with just an A1 tour guide who has a love and a passion for her country and the people of her country. And we're now in a region, an indigenous region called Baruca. Very, very interesting part of the country. It's in the hills, it's rural. The college is here to help build a traditional hut. So while I'm lying here in my very cozy bed up in the hills, walls made of just like sugarcane sticks, I guess, or a kind of bamboo, I'm not sure. Very simple. I've just washed my clothes or some of them by hand the old-fashioned way. I haven't done that since Nigeria, I don't think. The yard is full of chickens and dogs, and in the background you can hear the cicadas, or their variation of them. They just don't stop. It's quite, quite wonderful being here. Anyway, the students and the other two staff members are back up. It's a long walk up a very steep hill to get to this area where they're building a traditional kind of hut, which is meant to be a school, a place to teach the children the traditions of the old ways. So this is another project. One of the younger men here is just finishing college at that same college we visited earlier, where they do a tourism and eco-friendly tourism program. And he's graduating from there. And his project was to come back to his village and help his mother promote their program. And the main place where we are staying, they serve traditional food, sell these beautifully carved balsa masks and hand-painted, and they're quite lovely. Well, I don't know if lovely is the word, but they're very colorful. They make very nice decorations. I bought one for my son, number two son. There's just so much to say. Like, this is just another dimension to this tour. This is not your holiday in Costa Rica. Okay, this is living with the people, and that's, they've designed it this way. We started off in a very luxurious hot springs up in the hills, I guess outside Cartagena, and we've just moved to different locale each time, and now we are here till the trip is almost over. And the students were there, and I was there with machetes trimming the bark off the poles that are going to make this hut, just digging holes, helping the men cut the wood, the very hard wood, to the right lengths, and just generally giving a helping hand, and it's great. And then when it's break time, there's a couple of hammocks up there under one of the huts that they've already built, and we just chill for a while and then get back to work. And then lunchtime came down to the main place where they sell the masks, and they served us a hot lunch. I guess the most important meal was our first one. The woman who's in charge of this whole project, these people are indigenous to this area. They're very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people to look at. And she gave a wonderful prayer. I don't know if I mentioned this, probably not, at the beginning of the meal, and she did it in her language, or actually in Spanish, and then it was translated for us. But what she said was, "You are not here by chance or coincidence. You are supposed to be here." And the way it was translated, the way, you know, I could hear her saying it, and then our guide, translating it for us. I just believed it so strongly in that moment that, yes, with all my considerations, do I apply, where do I want to go, which project, I was meant to be here. This is bringing back a lot of memories of my time in Mexico, my time in Nigeria. I've had an absolutely wonderful time sharing stories. I'm afraid I've exposed everybody to the Beats and the Beatles. But with a purpose, trying to explain the broader context, because a lot of these students are younger. Three of them are from India, one from Guatemala, one from Ukraine, one from China, so they don't know this history, and they've been quite interested. But of course, the focus is on the people here of Costa Rica and what they are doing. There is a little museum, and there is one of those perfect spheres, those round balls that they don't really know the purpose for. And I asked the young man as a student, and of course, the one theory is aliens. Other theories is they represent the circle of life or the family, the togetherness. It's, who's to say, it's long lost. The most interesting thing about the Baruca people is they have a festival every year from December 31st, December 31st, of course, all the way to January 2nd, where the men wear these masks that they can sell here, but these are interesting ones. As an aside, when we walked into this place and they have a rack of masks, and they're hoping you'll buy them anywhere from $20 to $100, a lot of time put into them, and it's certainly done by these people. We saw a man carving up in the hills. I looked around and I thought, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is pick up the mask that I want to buy before somebody else does. And I found my mask and it was, yep, boom, that's the one. And then found out, no, sorry, you can't have that one. That belongs to the young man for his role in this traditional festival. So I felt good that I had actually picked out the one that had significance. I felt a connection. I've been feeling a lot of, I don't know if psychic is the word, but connections here to the seeds. I guess I probably mentioned the story of the seeds, yeah. And that, and something else, and this woman's words about you're supposed to be here, they just rang true in a very powerful way, and it washed some forgiveness over me. Earlier in that day, I insisted on, we have to have a meeting, and there was things I was going to say that weren't particularly nice, and I was rehearsing in my mind how I'm going to say this without being too aggressive or abrasive. And after the woman said, you're meant to be here, I looked around, I looked at all the people, and it just washed away. It just, yep, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to confront this issue or that issue. I can just surrender and let it go like everybody else is. And it was very, very liberating. Forgive me, I'm peeling skin off my chest. That first day we were in the hot springs, I should have worn a t-shirt while I was in the water. Dummy that I am, I didn't. I am very disappointed that my camera got zapped and ruined, and I no longer have a camera, and for some reason my iPod dies after about 10 minutes of use, so it might have got a little damage too, I don't know. But I'm telling myself, hey, you're here, you're in the moment, you don't need to be taking all these pictures for Facebook or whatever. But it's just, as a photographer, there's an awful lot here, and particularly the faces, the womanly. The Donna, the older, the woman here is not so old. I don't know if I mentioned it. It's a face from 1,000 years ago out of a National Geographic magazine, of a story on the Maya or something. It's just classically beautiful, the brown skin, the shape, the eyes. You just love looking at her, and it's just got one of those smiles that just... It touches your heart, it warms you, and I've been feeling a lot of that here. Forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but it needs to be said. I am big this afternoon off while the others are up there. I just knew I had one more climb. Yesterday was the first day my back started kicking in, and I think, oh man, I've been doing a lot of hiking, climbing, and being out of breath by the time I reach the top of the hill. So rather than... go back up
lie in a hammock and watch everybody else work, I decided to come down here and wash my clothes and just take it easy and get caught up on this podcast with you. I've had a couple of people ask, a few of the students wanting to friend me on Facebook, and I just can't open the doors on this podcast. I'm afraid it would inhibit me too much. I don't want that, although I made a decision while I was washing my clothes that I wanted to invite all these students to my birthday party if they want to come. I've had the pleasure of having one-on-ones with each of them, just a quiet moment somewhere, and it's been so enjoyable. And they're appreciating me, and yes, my knowledge and my experience. And it's just been a very, very good feeling. I was almost wanting to even the score or air out some issues, and it's just, I've just let that go. And I've decided there's nothing to do but be nice and get along with people and go with the flow. We saw a beautiful hawk soaring above the place and just watched it glide so gracefully above the grounds. I was talking about the Baruka and this young man who sort of took us to the museum and talked about it. There is actually a centennial. Oops. A college student here from the college where I teach, who has been here, she will be here for 3 months during her internship, and she's had to teach herself Spanish, and she helps when tourists come. She talks at the museum and explains the culture, and picks vegetables in the morning and just generally helps out. It's absolutely wonderful. It's very much like my Cuso experience, and I'm just so impressed that my college would be doing this kind of thing. There is a bigger picture here. Anyway, the story goes on this December 31st that the men wear the masks and somebody else dresses as a bull, and the bull charges and the men charge back, and it goes on for 3 days. I think there's a little drinking involved, maybe some local drink. I did ask about the mushrooms, and the young man has not yet taken them. It's not his time, but he will seek the advice of an elder and probably go through some kind of experience like that. But anyway, during these 3 days until January 2nd, when it's over, and finally the villagers capture the bull and burn it. And of course the bull represents the conquistadors, the Spanish coming in. And it is written in the letters that they, when they first met the Baruka people, I think they sent out maybe some ambassadors or messages or soldiers to warn, and the Baruka people killed the first two and let the third one go back to the people to tell them, don't come to our village. And there were three battles. Again, these are documented in letters to Spain or from, records from the time in Europe. And they were known for their fierceness at that time, and maybe this tradition of the masks goes back, and Harold was quite quite happy to tell me how they trapped all the people. They had a big, he called it a palenque, a giant village. There were many, many people, and the men were able to chase off the Spanish the first time and then get the women and children to safety. And then it was just the men, and then fought them in three battles, and eventually, I guess, cornered them all and killed them and burned them. So it's kind of interesting to hear about. Usually the history is the other way around, the Europeans conquering the people, and not so according to the Baruka. Of course, we are not in any danger now. The Spanish are here. The people have tried to celebrate some of their traditional crafts and art, but are also Christian now. And there is a big church in the village. So I just wanted to let you know that this has been truly an authentic experience. This is the real thing. This isn't just dragging around a bunch of tourists to take pictures and buy souvenirs. Yeah, we're living with them. We're eating. Yes, the meal when she gave that prayer, She served it on a green big banana leaf of some kind and no utensils, and said it was from God and you have to eat with your hands this time. And a variety of vegetables and rice. And of course the students from southern India were very, very accomplished at this and were quite happy to go back to show us how to join the food together and squeeze it tight with your fingers and then get it on at the end of your fingers and then use your thumb to push the little ball into your mouth. It's just been so rich. I am so happy, so grateful that I came on this program. And it seems very timely that somehow at this point in my life, this was meant to be. I really feel it's having an impact and maybe shifted my thinking somehow. And I don't just mean in the political way or Aboriginal rights or whatever else are some of the other messages we're to take from here, but in terms of personal growth and development. That's it. I think I'm going to continue to have a little rest and then have a shower and then join the others around 4 o'clock. So, Scarborough Dude, signing out from my cozy little hut up here in the hills of Boruca, Costa Rica. Bye for now. Okay, it's, I don't know, it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on, I don't know, March 2nd maybe, or 3rd. I'm just leaving the lovely little room where I've been staying. I took the afternoon off, as I mentioned, and, washed some clothes, lying down, rested, and wrote a little, and listened back to some of these clips. And now I'm going to share with you my walk down to where I'm meeting the others. I'm just stopped. I'm on some steps that have just been carved into the earth. It's just the rich brown earth and a series of steps that lead up to this house. So it is a real climb. But as I stand here, I'm looking out just into mountains and you see nothing but trees and green. And it's different. It's not at all like a Canadian forest. And this is, as I've said, all indigenous land. So there's no development here other than what they are trying to do themselves. There's a lot of little farms and homes along here. I just left, and the Donna, the lovely, lovely woman whose face I said was so beautiful, was weaving. And she just looked to see what I was doing, I think. She was just standing there weaving these threads to make. They do a beautiful cloth, and maybe I'll purchase something from her, too. It's coming up here. It is tiring. It's a real climb, but it's good for me. Man, I needed this exercise. I'm passing another little a traditional roofed hut. Just for shelter, you know, it's made. There's a lot of large poles, again, like ours, that have been scraped bare. And the man has just, he's got pieces of wood all over the place. And he's carving masks. He's not there now, but he was earlier. So these are not factory made in China. These are the people here hoping they can spend their time doing something that might bring them a little money. The path winds a little bit here. There's fallen leaves, big, big palm leaves. You can hear them underfoot. The insects in the trees, not as loud now as they were before, but they can get very loud. It's the time of year, they tell me. And we come down to a little wooden bridge. And again, another one of these huts, just woven. I'll have to get some pictures later, somehow. It's very, very neat. So this is a perfect little shelter where you could just sit. It's a bit of a dried up creek. I see a lot of paint on the bench, so maybe they've brought some of the mats down here to paint. We're talking rustic. Just a few flat pieces of wood tied together and a few
look like bamboo poles for the railings, nailed into a couple of trees. But it works. And the Donna and the others make this trip day after day after day. Some burnt out ash, a little fire. And now we start climbing. We've gone down one hill, up another. Oh, honestly. And you hear roosters everywhere at every finca or farm. I wish, I apologize for my ignorance, even though they pointed out to me, I can't tell you all the different trees. We have seen, of course, the coffee plantations. We've seen the papaya. I'm calling it papaya, but it's, I'm thinking avocados. We've seen a lot of. And then all the other fruits that they blend up and mix into drinks for us. So tasty. It is a challenge for me, this little hike. I'll take my time. And of course I'm going to have to make it back here tonight to, after supper to get home, and then tomorrow morning with another very early start to get working again on the little lodge or classroom they're building. Pardon the heavy breathing, but, God, that's the way it is. I'm still climbing. Now come up to another little house. This one, modern prefab style, pink. Perhaps this is not very exciting, my walk, but it's the reality right now of what I'm doing, what I understand in Toronto. It has been bitterly cold. Still going up past another house, this one bright blue, and I'm coming up towards the road. It's funny, it's quiet now. Usually the roosters are making so much noise, they seem to prefer 3 in the morning. And no dogs following me. It's another surprise. Okay. We're on the road. Now, if I go left, I join the others. If I go right, I might head into town. I think I'll just take a little detour. And see. God damn, I'm gonna sweat already. There are satellite dishes on these simple homes. Yeah, there's a little variety store down at the bottom. I wonder if any of my people are there. You know, I could probably go to it this evening on the way back. I think that's what I'll do. Yeah. Better join the others. Since I've already skipped out. Okay, that's just my little walk. And I don't think there's much more to share. Do you have anything to contribute to the podcast, Mr. Chicken? No? Hello. Not very much. You hear some in the distance. Okay. Signing out. That was a neat little trick I just pulled. Another no-no. I showed up at the meeting place, the kind of a lodge where the men are staying, and nobody was there. I have no idea where they've gone. I don't think they're still up working. They've probably gone on some side trip. So I thought, well, you know, just around the corner, there's that Bar Baruka. I'll just head in there and get myself a cold one. So, boys and girls, listeners to the Dixon Chains podcast, this is yours truly, the Scarborough Dude, having a very ice-cold Imperial. And let me tell you, it is good enough to have another one. It's probably, the people we're staying with are very, very spiritual and good people. And this particular bar looks like it's definitely on the dark side of town. The woman running it looks a little rough. And I imagine only the... you're not your better class of citizen hangs out here. But, hey, it's a bar. It's hot. The beer is cold. It's good. And that's just the kind of thing I like to do. It's surprising how quickly the idea came to me. I just walked in there, poured myself a glass of water, saw some empty coffee cups. Thought, oh, maybe they've been and they've gone. What the hell? Let's go to the bar. I gotta tell you, it is mighty, mighty good. How much was that? I just paid her. Gave her $1,000. She gave me back $100, so 900 colones, I think they're called. 500 to $1. That's about $2 for the beer. Not unreasonable. I'm the only one here, of course. And like I say, it's not the kind of place. You know, the good people come to, and I don't think there'll be many students trekking in here. But I thought that I've got a vantage point. If they do happen to go by, I can catch up to them. And meanwhile, why wait alone when I can be sitting here with cold beer? That's all I got to say. Talk to you later. I did come to a conclusion. I think I might have talked about my birthday. I wanted to do something else for my 66th. My 65th was a good one. I had a party at my home for my 60th. And 65 is the LSD movie. I think I'm due for another home party. Just invite people over on a Saturday around my birthday and make a big vat of chili again and get some sausages or burgers. A cooler full of beer and just invite people to drop by in the afternoon and stay as long as they want. And I thought, for sure, I would invite everybody who's been on this tour. They are just such nice students. And whether they come or not is up to them, of course. But I'm just wondering how they will mix in or how the other crowds, the other friends I have, will mix together. And it could be very interesting. It could be very enjoyable. I think it could be absolutely fabulous. So that's another little piece of excuse me, progress. Bye for now. Okay. Because I've shared the trip down the hill with you, I thought I'd share the trip back up to my home here. It's dark. I'm alone. Except for the dogs. And, I just thought I'd pull this thing out and let you hear what it's like walking through the night. Stray dogs everywhere, though. Some people say, no, they belong to people, but these ain't pets. Here I am. They'll settle down once they realize who it is. Was not just... Sorry. House owner that is attached to this place is telling the dogs to shut up. Yeah, was that fun? Whew. Now they've all calmed down. And we're home. Whew. It is quite a workout. I'm just back. We had our supper. And then our what's called the reflection circle, which we have to do every night. And this was a really good one. Really got into some interesting issues. A little bit explosive. I was thrilled to have an opportunity to voice my opinion quite vocally, which I am fond of doing. And it was good. But so did everybody else. So it's great. It's, again, part of the learning experience. And I'm feeling more and more. In the beginning, I wasn't sure really what my role is here, in spite of the two-page documentation saying what a trip advisor is supposed to be or do. I've sort of found my own place, and I'm quite comfortable with it now. And that's just a lot of good communicating and good conversations with the students. So anyway, I gotta go take a piss. Talk to you later. Bye for now. Yeah, I just had one of those fairly good rambling talks, probably about 12 minutes, and then looked down to see that I had not pushed the record button a second time, so it's all gone. I just wanted to recap to let you know we had a wood carving workshop today, which does not mean we got carving wood, but that we got to observe what's involved by one of the carvers here, showing us sort of a half stump of wood, and then peeling the bark and starting with the drawing and then getting in there with a chisel and various tools, most of which they've made themselves. Carving out these very, very neat three-dimensional masks. It was interesting because this man went in great detail into the history of the Boruka people and the significance of the mask and the ceremony they have December 31st to January 2nd of defeating the conquistadors. So that was wonderful. And again, just to look into the faces of these people as they're telling your story, you feel close. Anyway, my students are back, so that's that. Bye for now. Okay, we're back. I'm sitting in a plastic lawn chair. It doesn't seem appropriate. There are hammocks here and a swinging chair, a hand-woven thing, and logs. But there was one plastic lawn chair, and I got it just to give myself some back support. I'm up at the top of this hill, and this climb is just too much. I'm completely out of breath when we come up to the top. Hang on. Yeah, I'm trying to keep this a little private. I'm sitting under the first hut. I've got to have to find the correct word for this thing. It's beautiful. I'm looking up at the interior. I did take one photo, and it's the bamboo poles and that have made this huge cone, and then a framework of some pretty sturdy wood, and then all the branches cut down with the long leaves. And right now our students are working on the second one, and they're up on a platform weaving in and tying in the these long, long branches that will form the entire roof. It's very, very neat to see how this has taken shape from just this basic framework, which they more or less finished yesterday, and now which the final part. Who knows what will come after that, whether they'll put in a floor or not, but this will be the main structure. This will be the completion of our job and sort of the purpose for the students to come here, to actually come up and help in a project. I think that's what makes this program so special. But of course, as the only staff representative here, I choose to have a supervisory role and sit down. I have carried a few planks and helped out here and there, but I think I'm just going to sit this one out. They'll take a break when they need it. The sun is very hot. We're telling everybody to wear sunscreen. I'm watching them now in their green college t-shirts, learning how to tie the ropes or the cord to hold this stuff firmly in place. And it's just one layer upon another, which eventually will be rainproof and cool inside. It's very, very neat. And again, it would be neat to visit this place in years to come. I'm absolutely sure I never will. But others will come, and maybe there'll be some story of, yes, students from this college in Scarborough helped build this place. We got up at 6. We had breakfast at 6, which today was a cup of coffee and one tortilla each. Up where we were, with me with the three ladies, And then we came down to see if the members staying, and they had tortillas and beans and cheese and actually a full breakfast. So we kind of laughed. We thought, well, maybe they're just teaching us that some days you get more food than others, and it's a good life lesson, but not quite sure the reason why that's all we had was one tortilla. Because you burn off a lot of energy up here just making these walks. We'll have one more night here. Last night was kind of... I'm learning, I'm saying I'm maturing. The boys walk the girls back. They all get along so well here. They're all tight friends now. Some knew each other in class before. Most are new friendships. But they told a ghost story. And it did traumatize one of the girls, one of the young ladies. And as they're trying to undo the damage, said, no, it was just a joke. But the night before, the teacher, the course lead, insists she saw a man in her room with some kind of a black hat looking at her. And I explained to the other, yes, that's quite possibly true, but all he was doing was checking. This is the same as my ghost story from Japan, the ancestor hovering over me in the middle of the night to check to make sure I was not bringing harm to his family. So I assured her that this ghost would not reappear. His job was only to come there and make sure that we were not other conquistadors coming to harm his people. And she believed it, and I'm glad I share that. Honestly, a huge part of this trip is the social aspect and my role of just being here, talking. I'm having a wonderful time talking to the one student who is a Sikh and sharing stories about religion. And each conversation is unique to that individual. And then we have our group sessions where we share our views on certain things. It's a complex web of interrelationships. And I always find that quite fascinating. So that has been a huge aspect, a huge part of this trip. But I do realize my role now is really to make sure that everybody else is happy on this trip and enjoying themselves. And I've sort of lessened up on my need to control or fix things or... you know, there's a few things that have bothered me about... Oh, lots of little things that in other times maybe I would really feel the need to speak up about. And I'm finding now that it's better just to let it ride. It's not really my problem. And the bigger picture, the overall picture, is that everybody feels good and has a wonderful time and fond memories. So they're getting busier. People are running around, carrying up these leaves. The sun is hot. I'll bring an end to this, but I have my book on Buddhism, Plain and Simple, beside me. It is completely waterlogged. Still, the cover is starting to rip. The pages are getting tattered, and it just makes it all the more real because life is fleeting and fragile. So I'll leave you with that. Just wanted to say things are very, very good, and I'm absolutely so delighted I came on this trip and had the foresight to apply, do well on the interview, and make the decision to come along. Thanks to my wife and son for encouraging me as well. Yeah, Dad, go. Which is a good thing. All for now.
The three times that you do something,
yes,
is when they're working.
Yes.
But my mother said, you know, older person said that we need four times.
Four times.
More of the better. Not because we are not intelligent, it's because we need more time. Just this. For example, when to do some words or some meeting or to join the person, someone's having a project coming to here,
yes,
they need to quickly to do that.
Yeah.
But we do, like, we need time to talk to the other person, to go to the house to say there is a joint about this, you want to come in, we are doing this.
Yeah.
This is our time is different than the other.
Yes, you cannot be rushed the way the others. Mm-mm. Yeah, that makes sense. I understand. I don't think I caught the blowing of the conch on this recording. It's too bad. I was just too slow, and Harold started blowing it. We're way up on a hilltop, and he has the conch that they use to open their this festivity I mentioned. And he blew it here because we are doing something that's a community event, building this special hut, for want of a better word. And he blew it in different directions, but down the hill towards the village. And there was a response from a child calling back the sound because they recognize this is a call to celebration. He is the son of the woman who started, I guess, like a cooperative where they do the carvings. And it's a place for visitors, of course, to stop and learn about the culture, the Baruka culture. And he's very interesting because he's come back to the land. He's gone off to the same university we visited and studied there on things like ecotourism and cultural tourism, and is graduating now and is coming back, and he's starting many new projects in this village. This has been his focus from his studies. So very, very good things are happening on a very grassroots level in this country, and in particular with indigenous people. And it's very interesting, and we're very fortunate to be able to spend time with these people and talk to them and learn from them and share, you know, take part in sharing their knowledge and understanding. That's why he was saying traditionally the sounding of that horn, the conch, was three times. This is almost like, a Spanish style of doing it, one, two, three, let's go kind of thing. And maybe it's a Western culture, perhaps. And he's saying, no, in our culture, we need four. We need to take a little longer. We might have to consult with some people. We might have to. So it's another way of saying we have our own time here, our way of doing things. And we cannot be rushed the way others are. All very valid, very important, and again, all part of this experience. I also wanted to mention that I took part in the chicha. This is the fermented drink that they make here that the men will drink all day while they're working. It's fermented corn. We had an elder woman, again, an indigenous woman who makes the best chicha in town. It takes about 28 days to make it properly. It's a fermentation process using corn. It's actually quite good. And so they brought some up here today for all of us. And when we were taking our first break, he had everybody stand in a circle and recite what I already forget you're supposed to say before your name. And then you drink this thing. And we just had it in a wooden... not wooden, a thing made from plants, hollowed out like it forms a dish or a cup. And it was actually quite good. I got a whole cup all to myself, thank you. It was very tasty. I don't know that it packs too much of a kick. But I imagine over time, if you're drinking it all day, it probably does. And again, the thing I'm noticing about being on this trip, it's as if it's connecting so many pieces from my past. Connecting, like I think when I drank the chicha, I'm thinking of the palm wine I used to drink in Nigeria in the village when they'd tap it fresh every day. And I'd join the men in the room and would drink from this huge container until there was no palm wine left. And my time in Mexico, there's a connection to so many different things, and it's part of it is in my mind. I've just been thinking 65. It's almost like it's an end. You're old, and I do have to learn to counter that. Forget the number, and I'm as old as I feel or want to be, and get rid of that limiting number. Because it's a crazy thing. And I think this trip has helped a little bit. This is just one further adventure in my life. It may be a shorter one. It's only 2 weeks. But these every day has been so rich and valuable and unique that it's been very, very worthwhile. A video, I guess, would do a better job, but I'm sitting here again on this hilltop and looking out at the mountains. It's a rough, rugged, very rugged terrain. The soil is hard, and but there's just a beauty to it and such a diversity in terms of the trees and the plants growing here. And again, this is a place that is definitely off the beaten path. This is not where the tourists come. They want a few people to come, a few more people to come this way to, so that the village can benefit, right? There's not a lot of income here. This is not like San Jose, which is all Western fast food and factories and buildings and city office jobs. This is a village. You can just hear now the start of the rain coming down. It'll cool things off. I don't think the students will mind. I wish I could use the students' names, but just for the sake of privacy, I won't on this podcast anyway. There's a huge cloud bank sort of just moving over the village now, but it's very light. It's not like the other torrential downpour. By the way, not only did I lose my phone, my battery starts off at 6 in the morning at 100% power. By 8 o'clock, when I've taken maybe at most 4 pitchers, it's down to 25%. So I don't know what's wrong with my iPhone, but for the amount of money I've been paying for this, I am not at all happy that it's malfunctioning like that. It's crazy, and the quality of the pitchers seems to have deteriorated, and sorry, I shouldn't talk about technology, but it is annoying. Bye for now.
Does it mean anything? It's telling people something?
Wow.
I'm moving
for
rain.
Right now it's for the rain.
So that means it's over the rain?
I do it
for that. And people actually listen?
No, well, this depends. Did people listen? I said that. And the last time that they play, he's a child with a ball that starts to scream. The scream is like that we do in the dance of the dance.
Oh, okay. So
because they, this is that we do dancing of the dance. Mm-hmm. And that's mean like this time, like be happy, like someone's coming on. I
be happy.
Like, husband.
Okay.
Say we are weird.
We're here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.